Okay. Let's hear it for the nose.
Yeah.
All right, we're okay, Ron. We're continuing in the Rambam chapter 6, the laws in the Zeros, Halacha Tezayin. Okay, for the balance of this chapter, we're going to talk about a Nazir who basically finishes everything, done. And then subsequently, we find out, and he was unbeknownst to him, that he was Mamish Metame himself to something. So now, what do you do after the fact? And there's a very interesting halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that's going to make a distinction between two types of situations where the person became tummy. And that's what these halachas, it will be explained as we go further, as you'll see. So Rambam again tells you the law, you don't know what he's talking about, and then in a couple of halachas he explains what he's talking about. Tezai, Nozer Shegilach Taglachas Tahara. The Nozer has gone to the stage where he's cut his hair after finishing the 30 days in Tahara. And he's done. And then afterwards, now how we know, we could speculate, but note it was found out that he definitely was tame during his 30 days in Aziris, but he didn't know it at the time. But after he now is tar and everything, he's done, got a haircut and everything, information came out that tells us he was mamish tame. He came in contact with something tame. Now, here's the Rambam makes the qualification, doesn't explain it now. So you just have to accept it on face value and let him explain it in a few more halachas. Im betuma yidua nitmo. If he was tame with what's called tuma yidua, meaning to say it's a tuma that could have been known by somebody at the time, which will be explained. Then Sasar HaKol. It knocks everything off retroactively. The whole 30 days has to be done all over from the beginning. And you got to do the whole thing all over. Bring the korbanos, cut the hair, the whole 9 yards. But we've not defined exactly what Tumah Yedua is. Which is if it was a known Tumah. Okay, which Rambam will explain. It was known to people after his tummy. You'll see what that means. Okay, now, and therefore, everything's out. Umevi karbonos tuma. So first of all, he's got to start, and he's got to count days of being tummy. He's got to count 7 days of tuma. This could be like a month after he finished the 30 days. He now counts 7 days of tuma, has the waters of paraduma sprinkled on him. He has to bring the karbonos of tuma. Umegaleach taglachas tuma. He has to cut his hair, a cutting hair for tuma. And then umona naziris acheris. He has to start a brand new naziros. Even when he finishes that one, maybe a karbonos, sorry, he's going to bring Torah ones. So it comes out, he ends up bringing 3 sets of karbonos.
This is expensive. This is really expensive.
This is called Tuma Yedua, known Tuma, which has to be explained. V'im betumas hatahom nitma, but if he's Tuma, which will also be explained, a Tuma from the depths, he became Tuma. Okay. Ain't a soser. He was tummy, but it was a tummy of the depths. It does not knock it out. What's the logic? Good luck trying to figure it out. It's not a svara. It's just halacha moshe v'sinai. Okay, he's still not going to tell you what this tummy you do is tummy to home. You have to wait a little bit in suspense. In suspense. Now, this was all where everything was done. Everything was done, finished. He thought he was tar. He finished it completely. So we make a distinction between tuma yedua, known tuma, knocks it all off, and the tuma, the depths, nothing happens. However, how about an in-between step? Vim achlo nizrak alav echad miyadami. What if he finished the 30 days, he sprinkled the waters of the paradum on himself, but he had not yet brought any animal offerings, and they hadn't sprinkled any blood from the karbanos? Then noda shehu tame. Then he found out he was tame. Now bein shetumi yedua. Doesn't matter if it's a known tuma. Bein betumas hatahom or the tuma of the depths. So ser hakol, it knocks everything off because as long as you haven't sprinkled any blood, all the particulars of Naziris are upon him, and then it's going to be even for the tumas hatahom. It's like he became tame within his days of Naziris. this halakha on Shemini Sinai is only set for the tumah of the depths, and after everything was done, and that's halakha on Shemini Sinai. But if he didn't bring any korbanos yet, he's still a full fledged first time around nazir. So then, any kind of tumah knocks you off. Now, what about nodala? What if he finds out achar shenizir yamadam? What if he sprinkled one of the bloods of the korbanos? At that point, we know once the sprinkling happens, he's allowed to drink wine, he's allowed to be tummy to a mace, even though he didn't cut his hair yet. We go back to the rules we said before. If it's a tumah that was not known from the depths, it doesn't knock it off, while a tumah that was known does knock it off. So basically, any time after the sprinkling of the blood and onward, we make this distinction between the known tumah and the not known tumah. Now, finally, in Yudches, the Rambam now asks, Ezu Tumas Adom, what is considered Tumah of the Depths? What does that mean? So this is a rule, he says. Kol Shein Odom Makira Afilu B'Sof Olam. Something that nobody could have recognized it anywhere in the entire world. Okay? In other words, we'll see, he still hasn't explained it enough. It's going to explain more, but it's something that was concealed in a way that nobody could have seen it. Now, how it got revealed afterwards, we could speculate. Let's just finish this halacha first. But it was basically covered deep, so to speak. At the time that he would have come in contact to it, it wasn't visible. And nobody would have known about it, basically. But we'll see. We'll give him
causes, therefore, because
let's keep reading. V'lo amru tumas ha-tahom. We only say this rule of the tumah of the depths. Elameis bilvad. Only if a person dies from natural causes, and then he'd be, let's say, hidden in the ground, and nobody realized he died. Could be a guy just was walking the street, got a heart attack, fell down, and ended up in a pit somewhere where nobody ever knew that it happened. The nazir never knew he died, walked right over the pit without realizing there was a dead body over there. And then a month later, they find the body, and they could determine that he was dead for a long time. And they all know. The guy said, "Hey, that's funny. I walked over that grave a month ago." And they kind of know
that, I walked over that pit.
So now, but nobody could have known about it because it was so deep, and nobody could have seen it. You know, so let's say something happened. Somebody just, you know, was digging away and whatever.
Excavations in Israel, and they find
whatever. But that, in other words, there was a when the nazir did actually become tameh, it was not a tumah that anybody could have known was there. It was concealed well. Avohar, but if the guy was murdered, lo, there's no way we could say nobody knew about it. Because the murderer knew that he killed him. So at least he knew. That's called tumah yedua. That's nothing to do with the nazir knowing about or not.
Right.
It's a tumah that was, we'd say, concealed from all. Nobody could have known about it at the time. Now, obviously, subsequently, it got revealed. Could be it was a hurricane. I don't know, and pushed everything, whatever. But retroactively, we realized that he actually was tummy to something that nobody really knew about. But if somebody murders somebody, then there's somebody knows exactly he murdered him and threw him in the pit, deep down into the pit. Then he knows that.
Even though it doesn't help the nazir to find out about it because the murder is not going to say.
Yeah, that's right. And then later, when they find out, but if they find out he was murdered, then obviously somebody somewhere in the entire world knew about it. So therefore, he would now become tummy retroactively. Okay. On the other hand,
my point is, it's not as if the nazir was negligent. Or
no, as I do not. He didn't know. Tumah has nothing to do with on purpose or by accident. Doesn't matter. Tumah is tumah. Period. So that's the reality. Now, how about your test? Now, just different types of scenarios to determine what is it. Nimtza ha-meis goli, what if you find the dead body is revealed, it's in the open? Well, obviously, ain't the tumah satahom. This is not the tumah in the depths, right? It was a place people could have seen it. What about nimtza meshuka bekarkos ma'ora? Let's say it's deep down in a pit at the bottom of a cave, and v'mayim al-gabav, and there's a lot of water on top. Okay? So that is definitely Hareza Tumas Hatahom Shani Dua. That's a Tumah of the depths that nobody know about it because he fell down and he's like deep. He's not floating or anything, right? And now you're in the cave And now there's tumah that comes into that entire cave because of that. So therefore, that would be ein yadua. There's no way anybody could have known. And when the body is excavated, you don't see any murder marks or things like that.
Murder.
Now, what about hayatumim b'tevin v'sarus? What if it was totally buried in straw or in pebbles? Okay, let's say, for example, a landslide.
Yeah.
Landslide came and just totally wiped them out. And a few days after landslide, the nurse goes, "Wow, I'm going to go hiking." He starts hiking over this thing and this and that. And then subsequently, some excavators come to clear it out. You know, let's say there was a landslide. The landslide covered up a road. The Nazir just, okay, I'll just walk over the hill over here, the pebbles. And then a month later, finally, FEMA comes along, and they clear out the road, finally, and they clear it out. They see a dead body was over there.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's clear. That was a tumma from the depths that nobody could have known about it. Hareza tumma satahom. How about, though, b'mayim b'afela u'benikikei aslam? Let's say water, not very deep at all, but let's say in a dark area. That's why the guy didn't know. Let's say it's in a cave, and it was not a very deep pit at all, maybe just 3 feet, that's all. And it was dark. Since it was dark, the guy couldn't know that he was going over a dead body. And then later, some prospectors come with their lights, you know, looking in over there, and boom, they see a dead body over there. Or nikikei aslam, clefts in a rock by the mountainside, where the cleft, although when you're looking from the road, you don't see anything, but if you'd be higher up, you look down on the cleft, so it's open, even though not necessarily anybody saw it, but it's open.
It effectively,
if you're at the top of the mountain looking down, you would see it, right?
There's no one at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, but there was nobody at that time at all. So, ain't a tumason. That's not tum of the depths.
Oh.
Because it was open. The main idea, if the body is open to the open air, that is called tumi yadua, regardless if anybody saw it, but it's capable of being seen.
Yeah.
So either we know somebody for sure saw it, like a murderer, or it's so open that if we were in the right position, we could have seen it. The tumi of the depths is no matter what position you're in, you couldn't see it. We'd have to really unearth it, as it were, for it to be seen. But tumah yadua does not actually have to have been seen. It's just potentially, it's in a position that if someone was in the right position, they could have seen it. But all these cases, the common denominator is that the nazir had no idea he was going over it at all at that time, and could very well be that nobody had any idea. But if it's open, it's called tumah yadua. And if it's concealed, it's called tumah of the depths. That becomes the difference. Okay, now let's. So, therefore, now this halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, you'll see, applies in a situation where the guy is already tahor.
Yeah.
And we only. This whole discussion begins after he finishes tahara.
But if he's not.
Now you're going to see an interesting scenario in Chaf. Nazir shenitva b'meis. Let's say the Nazir was tamei meis. Regular Nazir was tamei meis. Okay, so what does he do? He has to count the 7 days, go to the mikvah. V'yar of the Taval, he goes into the mikvah now. He thought there was nobody else in the mikvah. And there was nothing else in the mikvah. Remember,
in
not going necessarily to the Chabad mikvah, where you could see to the bottom, you could be in a little a little pond or something, you know, a sea, you know,
a sea.
A river,
a natural
body of
water. But you can't have a whole river with a body.
But I'm just saying, or whatever. But it was in such a way. Let's see the Arizal's mikvah.
Yes.
You know. Anyway. He didn't realize there was a body at the bottom of the mikvah. Okay? So anyway, but at that point, he was tamei, he's counted 7 days, he went to the mikvah, he starts counting over. Okay? Okay? Okay, now where did this happen? Yard of a Tavel Bimara in a cave. And now he brought the Havi Karbonas Tuma, and he brought his Karbonas Tuma, so I'm finished with the tummy. He was tummy anyway, right? It was tummy. He knew he was tummy. It was a regular case of being tummy. And now he brought the carbonas, and now he's starting to count fresh. Uman and Naziris. And guess what? He now counted the whole thing, and he went 30 days. Vigila cut his hair off. So a lot's happened. He was a Nazir. He was tummy. just, and he knew that was clear tummy. And now he counts the 7 days, he goes to the mikvah, he brings all the karbanas, cuts his hair, starts counting again, counts 30 days, brings karbanas, does everything, everything's gone, and then a month later, revelations. Rachach noted, they found out, guess what? The whole time. There was a dead body at the bottom of the cave well, water, body of water, when the guy went in the mikvah. That first time to get rid of his tumah, there was a body there. Okay, now, let's say it was really deep. It was way down at the bottom, 20 feet down at the bottom of there, right? Now, normally we would call that the tumah of the depths, right? So here's the point. Obviously, tumah she'ena yadua, even though it's a tumah that was not known, still, the halacha Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go that far. Sasar kol knocks off everything that happened. Why? Because what's the difference? Because now, because when the guy went to that mikvah the first time, he was for sure tummy.
Yeah, right.
He was for sure tummy. And since he was for sure tummy when he went into the water, we have a chazaka that a person who's tummy, he's tummy, until he's certainly tahar. And we only say Tumas HaTahom is Tahira is when we assume that the Nazir was Torah the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? When he went through 30 days and everything was fine and it never was Tummy to begin with. And now later you find out that he became Tummy. That's when Halacha Moshe Rabbeinu kicks in, when he was Torah the whole time. But here when he was Tummy and he wants to get out of his tumah, and he goes into the very place where the dead body is, the halacha Moshe Rabbeinu does not kick in over there.
Isn't it just because the mikvah didn't do anything? You remained.
Well, right. That's the point. The halacha Moshe Rabbeinu does not kick in over there because the tumah was there the whole time, never got out.
It's not the body that made him tumah. It's just that the mikvah couldn't make him tumah.
Well, he gets tummy from the body there. The body gives the tummy.
How close or far are you from the body? If you go Lake Ontario, I'm sure.
Well, that's not Lake Ontario. We're not talking.
How far?
It wasn't that far. It's only a few feet, 10 feet down. It's in a cave. How much water could be in a cave
already? It's also the thing that you have to hold a sheretz.
No.
Like a sheretz when you go to
the So, it's an ohel. There's an ohel.
So the question
is, the cave's an ohel. It's in the same ohel as that.
How much little water has to be in it? And I know 40
it doesn't.
For
he doesn't say how deep.
500
he just says the depths. I don't know how deep it is. I don't know.
But the point is, you don't know.
Nobody could have known. If you're in a regular Chabad mikvah, believe me, you tell if there's a dead body in there.
100%.
Right? It's like any mikvah in Toronto, you'd know there's a dead body in there, right? So obviously, we're talking about a cave. The cave is dark. It's deep. I would imagine, even the Arizal's mikvah that we went into, it's not that deep. You'd feel something when your legs went down.
There's a body there's a dead it's body. Not a big place.
But
come
what
on.
If it was 10 feet deep? 10 feet deep, you're not going to touch bottom.
No.
So then that would be a case that would make him tummy. Now, what if, switch the scenario. What if, anybody who goes there because it's an ohel, right? Now, what if Yared Lahokir? What if what happened is, he went to the mikvah when he was Torah, and he wants to just cool off. To cool off. Hareza Torah, we assume he's Torah, at Sheyeda Shenaga, until we know that he actually touched it. Right? All right?
Touched what? The body?
The dead body.
So if he didn't touch the body, then he's not.
Then we, guess, plug in the halacha l'moshe misinai.
Wow.
Right? Now, what if Nimtza may self name? What if you find the dead body floating on the water?
Well
then that's Hareza Becheska Summa. You assume the guy's Tame, Shecheskaska, the assume is Shenogabazashutsaf. He touched that which was floating around.
Question.
Okay, yes, sir.
What's the difference between Torah Lemosha Lemisirai and Torah Shabbat Pet?
That's really a little bit off topic. Halacha Moshe is saying is Hashem told Moshe this is the law, period. Torah Shabbat Peh has all kinds of everything. It could be Kal Vachomer, could be Gzei Rishava, could be all kinds of Limudim. Torah Shabbat Peh is much
broader.
That's a whole different. It is included in Torah Shabbat Peh. It's just one aspect of Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, moving on to the seventh chapter.
Does the person have to know that he's tamei to be tamei?
We just said no.
No,
no.
That's what he said. Now, we're going to now, this chapter, the Rambam hinted to this before. Now he's going to go into great detail here. Not every type of tumas mace, is going to knock off your whole nazirus. Right. Only certain kinds, and it's based on a pasuk. So let's see if we can do maybe aleph and beis would be good. He says like this, Yesh tumas min ha-meis, there's certain tuma that comes from a dead body. She'ein ha-nozer megaleach aleim, the nozer does not have to take a haircut based on that. V'lo sosas ha-komi, doesn't knock off the previous days. V'yafal pi she'nitma tumas shiva, even though he has a tuma that requires him to wait 7 days to become tor, and he's the ashes of paradum sprinkled on him, but still, Lefi shalom nemar bo, because when we talk about the problem of the nazir being tamei meis, the pasuk does not say the following. It does not say v'chi yitma lenefesh, if he'll become tamei to a soul. Now that would include any way he became tamei meis, but it didn't say that. It said v'chi yamus meis olav, a dead body dies upon him.
Oh boy.
So it's a much more
direct
contact that happened to him.
Sure.
You know, you just say he became Tamei Meis. There's a lot of ways you can be Tamei Meis. Right. And all of them require Parah Aduma. But by the Nazir special, Xeris HaKos, the Torah says the dead body's got to fall on you. So it's got to be real direct contact. Yeah. So obviously, just in the same room as a Meis. For example, if you're in the same room as a Meis, you need the Parah Aduma for sure. Your Tamei 7 days.
That's probably wrong.
But there's no contact. So that's the critical point where the nazir, there's got to be some type of quote-unquote contact tuma for you to knock off all the days. That means ad shiyitma mituma sheme atzmo shomes, until you become tummy from a tuma that comes from the essence of the dead body.
What is that?
Okay, like his flesh or his bones, and all the things are going to be enumerated on halacha base.
Okay.
So and
we'll see. It's going to all explain. It's going to all explain in the next halacha, every possible example. But and then, if it became actually the dead body itself, then yavi karbonas tuma. You have to bring the karbonas for tuma only under those conditions. The galach tegalachas tuma. He has to get the haircut for tuma. The yipul yom rishim, and all the earlier days fall off. Beis is going to discuss 12 types of contact with the dead that will require you to knock off all your nazirus. Beis. And some of them are kind of weird. The elu tumas min ha-meis, nazir megalechalem. Some of them are, these are the tumas meis, the following 12, that the nazir must cut his hair on and he loses the whole thing. Number one. Now, he doesn't have to say a dead body falls on you. Like, that's kind of,
that's
pretty
the,
obvious.
That's the obvious.
We're stretching the ideas now. Number one, let's say al hanefel, a miscarried fetus, right? Ve'afilo no niskashu avarav begidim, that, and his bones did not get connected to the sinews. In other words, there is not even a xias of flesh on that body. Okay, you didn't even have that, but there is a fetus that came out, right? So that's number one. That will make him tummy, because it is a dead body, so to speak.
If she's an Izziran, she gives birth to stillborn?
I guess it'd be a problem.
That'd be huge.
But al kizayis mipsar meis, and if there's a kizayis only from the flesh of a dead body, you don't need a whole dead body. Take a dead body, just cut off a kizayis, boom, he touched the kizayis of that. That's number two. Number three, val kizayis netzel. A kizayis of a netzel, which the Rambam later I was going to explain what a netzel is, but it's a type of liquid, a smelly liquid that comes out of the flesh of the dead body. Some like pus or something, whatever, oozes out
it's
of the body.
It's called decomposed.
No, they're going to have other things that decompose. But like a liquid, ooze, a body fluid comes out, and you touch that body fluid that comes out of the dead body. All right, also, the al atzamos, the bones, just the bones, no flesh, bones, shein rov min atzamos, which is the majority of the bones of the body. Okay, we know there's 248 bones, right? So you have 100, or limbs, whatever. So you have 125 limbs of that body come in contact with you, even though there's no meat, but just the bones.
If you just touch a tooth, it wouldn't be enough. It has to be.
Right, so it's bones. A majority, there's no flesh on the bones. Remember, you only have excise of flesh, you're ready, Tommy.
Right,
we're talking about where it's just a skeleton. It's in a majority of a skeleton. Okay, that's number four. Afal pi she'ein b'merovak hakav, even though they don't amount to a quarter of a kav. All right? Doesn't matter. Next, va'al atzoma she'em rov binyano shel meis, or bones that are the majority of the structure of the body, not in terms of number, but structure, which would like be the two legs and one thigh, for some reason is like the majority structure.
Like the rib cage or something?
No, the legs and the thigh. It's called a majority structure. That's the one they give the example. I don't know about anything else. Even if there isn't a quarter a kav of bones, but besides any of these, if you have valchatzi kav atzomos, if you have a half a kav of bones, that alone, forget about any other criteria. It's not a majority of 125 different body parts or the majority structure. A half a kav alone is enough of bones.
Why do we need all the other things?
Well, what if you have without a half a kav? We're giving all the possibilities.
Okay.
You could have not a half a kav.
Doesn't have a kav measurement?
I don't recall offhand. Zion, next.
Is it a volume?
Yeah. V'cholatzomos. Now, also, by the way, all the bones, yia mishal meis echad. It has to be from one dead body. You can't add them up. V'lo mishne meis, not from two bodies. Okay. Next, v'al hashidra, the spine. From one dead body, so a spine alone, the spinal column, would be enough to tameh. Or the skull of a dead body, that's also good enough. And a full organ from a dead body that comes from one dead body.
That's not a bone, we said, because I said that.
Let's say a zroa, a limb, a full limb.
Just the bone of it.
No, so, the whole limb.
I think the full limb.
Yeah. Well, we said it because I said.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe.
Next one is.
What does it say?
Okay. Not a lot. It just says not from two. It says the zroa, the shok.
Mishnah.
Next one.
Okay. Anyway, next va'al aver mina meis habom mi meis. Oh, I did that already, right? So let's go to the next one. V'al aver min achai. How about a limb from a living person? May adam echad, from one person. Sheyesh aleim basa, there's flesh in it. Sheroy lalos bo arucha b'chai. There's enough flesh that if you have to heal the person, there's enough flesh that had he been alive, it could heal the person. If you fix that area, it would heal the rest of the person. And also, number 12, a chatzi log dam habam meisachad, and a half a log of blood that comes out of a dead body will also be enough. A half a log is 2 revis.
Yes.
So that's about 8 ounces of blood.
So when we had the bodily fluids, do we have an amount?
It doesn't have to be blood. The bodily fluids. 1 second. What do we have?
It says quarter of a
excise.
Excise,
which is less.
Right.
Okay. And also, I guess it's 13, v'lal melo chafnayim rekev hames, or a full fistful of decomposed body. Okay? It's that the moisture's gone out of it, and it's turning into ash, dust, ashes, you know, whatever, flaky, whatever. So it's decomposed. Now that we've finished those, I think it was 13, although he seems to say it was 12. Anyway, Eza Netzel, what's Netzel? What's Netzel? You know, we already said it. Zebisar hames, it's the flesh of the person. Shenimuach, it gets liquid, it liquefies, it melts. Venasa lecha struchem, becomes liquid, putrid liquid. And all those things make the nazir tameh. We will find other examples later on that don't make the nazir tameh.
So I can nullify any bad dreams I might have tonight on Sukkot.
Yeah. Yes. What? You definitely can if you're Birkas Kohanim.
Yeah.
Just tell Santa a little slower.
What's up? Yeah.